So if anyone's taking notes, title it Strach Batirel. And some of you guys may have heard this as kids when you do something bad and your parents are a little upset with you. But I just want to talk about losing your conscience and accepting problems in your life to the point where they're your identity. Where you accept problems in your life, not because you have to, but because you want to. And you don't want to face your problems. And a lot of the time that comes with, we have this feeling that we feel stuck where we are at. We feel like we're not progressing anywhere. We feel like something's holding us back, but it's not something that we want to really acknowledge what's holding us back. And we end up living a problematic lifestyle that prevents growth because of our lack of proper foundation. And all of your problems lead to one statement, and it is God enough? Is he enough for you? James 4, 16 through 17 says, as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is a sin. So how many of us have that one thing in our life where it's talking about we know it's the right thing to do, but yet we don't do it? What's that problematic thing holding us back from progressing? And this verse says, boast in your arrogance. Arrogance is your insecurity in disguise. Arrogance is your lack of trust in God. Your arrogance, what this verse is saying, you boast in your arrogance, is the unknown that you don't want to give to God. It's what's holding you back from progressing. And pride is often the foothold for this. Your pride to admit that you have a problem and that you need to fix it and solve it. Romans 2, 19 through 23 says, and if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth, you then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say you must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking the law. How many times do we tell someone to not do something and then behind our back, we do the same exact thing? We have a lack of integrity. There's this funny definition of integrity that I heard, and I think it's the best definition, but integrity is when a little kid goes to the bathroom by himself and washes his hands when no one's looking. And often that we'll say this one thing and then we'll do it, even though we know that it's not right, and we become comfortable in it. What I mean by losing your conscience is when you keep doing that thing to the point where there's nothing telling you that it's wrong inside anymore, where you do it and you feel nothing, where you become comfortable in the sin and the filth that you're living in. And that is an extremely dangerous place to be in because nothing's telling you to stop or that you're doing anything wrong. And it doesn't happen on accident. It's little steps that get you to that point. Like, for example, when people cheat on their wife or something, you don't accidentally fall on someone and cheat on them. It starts with the little steps, little temptations that you allow, little footholds that you give the enemy to get in. And oftentimes we lose these battles voluntarily because we surrender to our problems and agree with them instead of trying to fight them. We let these problems become our life because we don't really want to face them. Like in an illustration that like I got, like a revelation, is that our life is like a road sometimes. And we're building this road as life progresses. And we will come across boulders in the way or problems. And we have two choices. We could either face the problem, look at the boulder head on and remove it so we can continue building the road, or we can leave the boulder there and build around it. And Often people will just ignore the boulder and build around it, and they have this boulder in their life now. And it becomes an identity of the path. It's part of the road now. And every time you drive by it, it's become the point where it's a sightseeing spot now, where you have it a part of who you are instead of dealing with it and removing it. And you start to, even in cases, start to like praise this area like a sightseeing spot or something. Like instead of saying this is wrong now, you say this is who I am, I can do this. This is what it is. And that's kind of how this generation is being taught to live. Like you guys in school have heard of the do whatever you feel as long as it doesn't hurt anyone. Right? Like, just do anything you want as long as it doesn't affect me or hurt anyone. Then it's okay. Live your own truth. This is an extremely toxic mindset that is being pushed. And you should not live your truth. You need to leave the biblical truth. I'd rather be biblically correct than politically correct. And that's sometimes hard to do without being persecuted. But if you're being persecuted, then good job. 1 Timothy 4:1-2. Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teaching of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. I'm going to read you guys the amplified version of this verse because I like how it breaks down the verse. But the Holy Spirit explicitly and unmistakably declares that in later times some will turn away from the faith, paying attention instead to deceitful and seductive spirits and doctrines of demons, misled by the hypocrisy of liars whose consciences are seared as with a branding iron, leaving them incapable of ethical functioning. So even the Bible warns us of there's going to be these ideas and philosophies of live your own truth, do whatever you want as long as it doesn't hurt you. And it will leave them incapable of ethical functioning. It says here that their consciences are seared. What's being seared means is like you take a hot branding iron and you sear it into something. So they're left with a scar. So they are scarred with these philosophies, leaving them incapable of ethical functioning. They're marked by this philosophy. Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Like, once again, the Bible just warns us of these things. And another thing, talking about the power we give problems. So when someone asks you, like when you meet someone after not seeing them for a while, you go through the typical small talk, like, "Hey, how are you doing?" And then you're like, "You know, good." And they're like, "How are you doing?" And they're like, "Oh, I'm good. Thanks for asking." And we know that both of you guys are lying because you have problems that you're going through, but you don't want to admit that you have problems to each other. And I hate that. Like, if I'm not doing good, I'm going to say I'm not doing good. I'm going to find the root of the problem and uproot it as quick as I can, because if I try to say I'm fine when I'm not fine, I'm just sweeping it under the rug. The problem's still there. I'm just hiding it so no one will see it. Deal with your problem now, so your problem does not deal with you in the future. And that is why mental illness, depression, and anxiety is so rampant in our society, because we give it the power that it has. It's come to the point where we romanticize it and we put it on a high pedestal, where being mentally ill is now cool. It's a cute quirk. Oh, like, I have OCD, this is how I am, that's so funny, right? It's cute. But in reality, it's not normal. Like, society talks how it's normal to be depressed. It's normal to be anxious. It's not normal to be anxious. It's not okay to be depressed. It's not okay to have anxiety. It's not normal. And people will believe this lie, and they will have it a part of their identity where it's, I can't change this. This is now who I am. And they don't even try to fight the problem. When in reality, you need to go to war with this. You need to full-on battle it until you get victory. And you need to fight in a place of victory, not like you're going to lose. Because Jesus already took it all on the cross, so you don't have to fight from a place of, I don't know if I'm going to win. It's, you won, just keep fighting. And when we go back to worship here in a couple of seconds, just present all your problems that you have in life right now, all the sin or filth that you have become comfortable with, that you've allowed to just become a part of your identity, and just bring it before God and let him take care of it, because he's the only one that can take care of it. Not your friends. You can't go to therapy and talk with someone and all your stuff will just magically be fixed. You just need to bring it all before God and hand it before him. Because in the end of the day, the question is he enough for you? Is God enough? Is God bigger than your problem? So, worship team, if you guys want to come up. Is your problem holding God, or is God holding your problem? What's bigger, your problem or God? So Lord, we just come before you and we just pray that you'll just cleanse us, Lord, that you'll continue to sanctify us, that you'll give us the strength to get through whatever we're going through, Lord. And I just pray that you'll open our eyes, that you have all the answers to our questions, that you'll just give us the revelation that we don't have to go to other people for answers, because you already have all the answers that we need. And I pray for anyone who's just struggling with depression or sadness, Lord, that you'll just give them the passion to fight the fight, to fight the battle in the place of victory, to give them hope that they'll continue to fight. I just thank you that we can just gather and worship your name.